Another gorgeous day here in central Wisconsin at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. Plenty of sunshine, fair skies, temperature of 82 degrees. And for the first time in 2023, when I was looking at some of the weather information, instead of seeing wind chill factor, it says heat index. The first sign of a heat index in 2023. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. On Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO and on the Civic Media app. Coming up on the program today, in just a few minutes, in about, 7 minutes or so, we'll be talking to Todd Alba. He is, of course, the host of the Todd Alba Show. You can catch each and every weekday morning from 8 until 11 a.m. here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, plus on the entire, on most, I should say, of the Civic Media Radio Network. And we're going to talk to Todd about politics and also talk about an issue he has been focused on. I'm sure that you've heard him talk about in recent months, talking about what's going on at UW two-year campuses. And of course, that does have a big factor and a big impact here in central Wisconsin. It had a big impact on me because I'm a person that went to the two-year UW campus here in Wausau when it was known as the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County. Well, Todd went to the UW-Richland County, Richland Center campus. And it was announced late in 2022 that at the end of the spring semester that in-student learning at Richland Center would be coming to an end. And there's been a lot of pushback, and I would say that Todd Alba has been on the forefront of that in Richland Center, talking about why this is occurring, whether or not there was, I don't know whether to call it some sort of sabotage, but at the same time that this is some sort of planned closure, that this has been in the works, that in a sense, you remember hearing conservatives talk about basically trying to drown government, and you have different ways of doing that. And I think that what you do can lead to an ultimate outcome. And we're going to talk about what it means, because this week came the story out of UW-Washington County that the county, not the University of Wisconsin system, is talking about merging UW-Milwaukee at Washington County. Again, all these two-year schools now being connected with a four-year campus, but talk about UW-Milwaukee at Washington being merged with a technical college in that part of the state. And of course, we here in central Wisconsin with UW Stevens Point at Wausau, and also we have the North Central Technical College. So, I mean, who knows? I wanted to talk to Todd because he's been a little further ahead of it than many of us, and I put myself in that group as well. That when UW Richland closed, my thought was, well, the enrollment has gone way, way down. In fact, it's been under 100, and that's the reason why this is happening. Well, Todd has talked about a lot of the underlying issues that led to this. The fact that Richland Center wanted to recruit within their area to get folks to come in. And the UW system basically said, no thanks, we're not going to do that. So, again, I think there's a lot to talk about in whether or not this is going to spread. Is there an appetite for the four-year UW campuses to continue with the two-year campuses? Because right now, with the connections between these schools, you need to have that support from the four-year campuses and also the UW system, or else you're going to be, basically cut adrift. And it would be a very sad thing indeed to see that occur here in central Wisconsin. So we're going to talk about that. Talk a little bit about what happened in politics in terms of the elections in the past week, what we should be looking at in the next weeks and months with the budget and a whole bunch more. So again, we'll be talking to Todd Allbaugh coming up at 2:15 here in just a few minutes on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Also coming up during the course of this program, we're going to be talking about the big news today that Democratic U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin has announced she is running for re-election, looking for a third term. And I'm going to talk a little bit about this because I think sometimes we forget how historic Tammy Baldwin has been in Wisconsin political history. When you look at who she beat, she knocked off the titan of Wisconsin politics for the Senate seat 12 years ago, Tommy Thompson. Tommy Thompson is as popular a figure in Wisconsin politics as we've seen, well, since probably fighting Bob La Follette. So we're going to talk about that. Wausau City Council last night approved several security improvements at City Hall. Going to talk about what happened last night, what it means, why it's occurring as well. So that's coming up a little later in the program as we will continue. And we'll give you a chance to jump in on that topic as well coming up later on in the program. But we're going to take a quick timeout. Before we do, a reminder, weather-wise, we talked about the 82 degrees, but there is still a flood warning that continues here in Marathon County. The Big Rib River at Rib Falls affecting Marathon County continues with a flood warning. So again, if you run into some flooded areas, motorists should not attempt to drive through flooded areas or drive around barricades. So we'll have more on that as we talk about the weather a little bit later on. But coming up next, it will be Todd Allbaugh joining us here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO. Chad Holmes with you here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO, and on the Civic Media app. Yeah, takes every kind of people. And of course, here on Civic Media, we've got all sorts of very talented and people from different perspectives. People have had different roads to get to where we are here at Civic Media. And one of our terrific hosts from 8 to 11 a.m. each and every weekday right here on Bull Falls Radio and on other stations on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app as well. You can tune in to Todd Allbaugh every weekday again, 8 to 11 a.m. And very happy to welcome back to the program. And Todd, I know you had 3 hours of talking to us earlier today. Appreciate you spending a few more minutes talking a little bit more to us here today.
It is always a pleasure, Chad. Thanks so much for the opportunity, and always great to have conversations with folks in Wausau and the greater Wausau and Bull Falls radio listening area, and always great to be on your great program. I tell people I was down at Richland Center yesterday. We were broadcasting from there, and of course, our colleague, Bill Nee, who wears several different hats and does high school sports, I said yesterday on the air, I'll say it here today, Chad Holmes and Phil Nee, the two hardest working guys in the civic media industry with all the things you do. So I appreciate everything you do as well.
I have to admit, I was actually at my desk listening when you said that, and I got all bent out of shape. You know, it's like, oh, come on, Todd, stop it.
But it's true. You guys work your on-air shifts, and then you're out doing high school sports. And that's one of the cool things about Civic, and it's one of the great things about Sage, Wild, Mike Crute, our new owners, is that they're truly committed to that community involvement. And I don't think you'll disagree that so many of the things that connect our community are the kids and the grandkids and nieces and nephews that play these high school sports. It's a huge deal. And the fact that you and Phil go out and help bring these events into our homes is a huge thing.
I got to share a little story with you here when you mentioned that, because yesterday I had a person that ran for the Wausau School Board who was defeated last week, but came on just to kind of talk about what happened. And we're wrapping things up. And of course, school consolidation and the such is a big topic. And him and his family are a Wausau East family. Here on our station, we basically cover Wausau West along with Newman and Marathon. And he goes, at the very end, we're on the air, we're wrapping things up. Uh-huh. And he says, I heard you talking about, because I, after the show, I was heading over to do some baseball. He says, why don't you do East? and I explained to him, because basically here in the, and I know that radio in this community, for about 40, 45 years. We have multiple schools, and our station always covered Wausau West and Newman Catholic and then added Marathon. The station across town took DC Everest and Wausau East. So I said to him, I said, I would love to be able to do it. I think it would be absolutely great. But the other station dropped their high school's coverage last year. And I said to him, I said, one thing I am so incredibly proud of with this radio station and with our new owners, because when they bought the station, they talked to me about sticking around. And one of the things was they were going to continue to bring local high school sports. And that's why I'm still here. And to be honest with you, along with all the other great things we're able to do. But I said to him, I said, hey, the other folks across town, they don't care. I mean, that's what, because I mean, it's really important. And I know that you believe it and everyone believes it. This is a public license. Public service is part of it. And the fact that we still do it, I think, is fantastic. And I know that you down talking about these local issues within Richland Center yesterday, being there and talking about these issues, that is what we're trying to do here. And that's what we're trying to do here in Wausau as well. So, again, I appreciate the comments. But, again, it is about covering what people are talking about in our communities.
Yeah, it's community-driven, community-focused, and I think that is perhaps the greatest asset that civic media is bringing to the state, is this focus and giving us the airtime and the ability to talk about these local things that are happening in our communities across Wisconsin.
And one of the topics I wanted to talk to you about, because it does connect here, and you mentioned it when you've talked about this over the months, and first of all, I said this in the last segment, I said, when this story first came out about UW-Richland Center and UW-Platteville at Richland Center announcing that at the end of this spring semester that in-student learning would be discontinued, you were on it so hard early, and I was thinking, well, you know, and I think a lot of the folks, a lot of the talking points that are being pushed about, well, the enrollment's down and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You saw it from a different angle immediately. What got your antenna up real quickly about this story?
Well, I'm fortunate and blessed to have a little bit of insight. In full disclosure, my maternal grandmother, Marge Wallace, was the first woman to serve as a dean of UW campus. That was at Richland Center. So I grew up, and she was from a dirt poor farm family and left home when she was in eighth grade to go do laundry and ironing in a family in town to finish high school, and graduated from Platteville and then UW-Madison, and was the president of what used to be called the County Teacher Colleges across Wisconsin. And then there was an opportunity in the late 60s when the Board of Regents said, we have this idea to make branch campuses off of the four-year schools, be two-year campuses for associate degrees. And so she led the charge of the community to help build UW-Richland, and then subsequently became the dean there and the first woman to be a dean in the state of Wisconsin. So I literally, Chad, in the early 70s, learned how to walk in the halls of UW-Richland. So it's been a personal passion of mine. My dad was also athletic director and wrestling coach there for a few years as well. So I have some insight to it. And knowing the community, and again, go back to community, right? Knowing that in 2014, 2015, the enrollment at UW-Richland was over 500 students. Today, it's around 60, 6-0. And so knowing that in the 2017-18 era, former President Ray Cross did this merger. Because after the original, when it was started in the late 60s, they were part of the branch campus of the 4 years. Then in the mid-70s, they got put into the colleges. So all 13 two-year campuses were one college, and they had their own chancellor for the 13 two-year campuses. They were kind of independent. And then in 17-18, former president of the system, Ray Cross, put them back with a four-year campus. The problem was, as we learned on our show from former UW campus, the 2 year chancellor, Kathy Sandine, who's now out in California, she was the last 2 year chancellor to put together a plan that addressed changing enrollments and changing times without ever, the proposal would not have closed any of the 2 years. Mm-hmm. Former President Cross just dismissed that out of hand and never saw the light of day. And then he forced these two-year campuses to go back to the 4 years without any plan whatsoever. And it's been a disaster ever since. And so this has been, and so as you pointed out, I think the last segment, they lost the recruiter, They had over $600,000 in the private foundation at Richland Center that they offered to System and Platteville to hire their own recruiter, and were told they couldn't do it. So when you have, you know, free money being offered to the UW system to help out, it's being denied, and other things going on where you're being set up for failure, you know that the jig is up somewhere.
And if there's a plan that, and again, I mean, theoretically, if somebody has an idea, well, we want this outcome, there are things you can do to get to an outcome, correct? I mean, that's what a correct. Lot of what's being talked
exactly.
about in this way. When you don't put
in
the...
Yeah. Go ahead.
I was going to say, like you said, if you don't put any money into a recruiter, well, then how are you going to get kids to come and know about it? And that's a big part of it. When you're making decisions on what your next step is going to be, you got to have people that are able to sell the opportunities at Richland Center, correct?
Absolutely correct. I won't disclose. I don't want to get this person in trouble because they're kind of a mid-level staffer from Platteville. But there was a person doing the recruiting for UW Platteville, Richland, and UW Baraboo, the two-year campus of Baraboo, kind of by the Dell, also connected to Platteville. And this person was at a major city in western Wisconsin representing Platteville, Richland, and Baraboo doing recruiting recently. And someone I know very well went to the table there to get information, just asked about Richland and Baraboo. They literally had nothing out on the table. They had to dig in the box to find a pamphlet on Richland and Baraboo. We're almost not talking about it at all. And the person, and my sister was very nice. My sister did it. And she's like, I'm actually from there. And this person disclosed that she wasn't even the full-time recruiter because Platteville wasn't able to hire people to do full-time recruiting and really didn't know much about Platteville and Baraboo at all. So if this is being replicated for other two-year campuses around the state, this is a harbinger of things to come.
And that's why we have to keep an eye on it here in central Wisconsin. I myself
exactly.
went to the University of Wisconsin-Marathon County, and I was, a couple of weeks ago, I was over at a play at Wausau West, and the former theater director at UWMC, who retired after all this consolidation, and really mm-hmm. there's no theater department now in Wausau, and I was talking to her, and I was saying, basically, my experiences here or what put me where I am today, where I'm in front of this microphone, because in a smaller school, I wasn't ready to go to the four-year school yet. I was not prepared to go into the deep end. I was able to go gradually and get opportunities, do things I wouldn't have otherwise done. I think beyond all of the questions about again, finances are important. Everything else is important. But the opportunities for people to grow, to make better people in our communities. Sometimes I think the focus gets off target when you talk about just, well, we should make sure that every graduate has, the A, B, and C in order to work at a certain level. Well, it's about being better people, about having more experiences, about living better lives. And I think when people start closing down two-year campuses, people are never going to have those opportunities. Beyond everything else.
100% agree, Chad. And I'm a product of UW Richland. I went there before transferring to UW Platteville, to the four-year there. And you're right. I mean, we grew up in more rural parts of the state. Sometimes it's economic instances. Sometimes it's just, not ready to be academically go on. I was not a great student. I wanted a smaller class size. I needed to have that, more nuanced help, if you want to say it that way. But also, as you touched on as well, it's the experience, right? I'm going to botch the quote, I'm going to paraphrase it, but the plaque that hangs on Bascom Hill down here at UW-Madison on Bascom Hall, the continuing winnowing and sifting of ideas that lead to the truth. And so much of college is learning, about others that you might, other cultures, other people, different ideas to challenge yourself, to grow as a person. That's part of the university experience. Not to mention, of course, for our communities, the economic impact.
Mm-hmm.
A study done a few years ago said, roughly, I believe, $7 million annually, the economic impact to the Richland community in southwest Wisconsin. That could be replicated to all of these 2 years, whether it's Marathon or UW Barron or go right down the list, is replicated across the state as well. The most disturbing thing, Chad, to me, is current UW system president Jay Rothman mm-hmm. has refused to come on our show, despite several offers to do so. The staff has refused to come on our show. He won't meet with anybody. Howard Markline, who is the co-chair of the Joint Finance Committee, he has been invited. He represents Richland. Won't come on our show. I invited him to his face. I said, "Look, I'm not here to play gotcha. I'll give you all the time you want, uninterrupted. I'll ask you pointed questions. They'll be fair questions. But I just want you to come on and explain how this was allowed to happen and what it means for the rest of the system. Chad, nobody, Republican nor Democrat, want to talk about this.
Right.
And from my years of working in the state capitol, you know, when nobody wants to talk about something, usually means there's something up.
We got to take a quick time out for news here at the bottom of the hour, but we're going to keep Todd with us. We'll talk more with Todd Albaugh about some political questions, because the man's been around, and I want to pick that brain a little bit coming up after a news update. Again, I'm Chad Holmes. It is a beautiful Wednesday here in Wausau. More to come on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Chad Holmes with you on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Continuing with Todd Albaugh, host of the Todd Albaugh Show, right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, each and every weekday morning from 8 a.m. until 11 a.m. And Todd, we were talking off the air before we put the finishing touches on the discussion on the UW two-year campuses and what's going on within the UW system. I was saying to you that it feels like a lot of issues would either be exacerbated or cut down quite a bit, depending on the attitude that the four-year schools have concerning these two-year schools. And could you explain what you are hearing in terms of how maybe Platteville was not as excited about this change as maybe some of the other schools, and how that affects what's going on down there?
Sure. Absolutely. So, as I kind of said before, back in November when this all broke, and again, it was a letter from President Jay Laughlin of the system, never visited the Richland campus, never talked to anyone at the Richland campus before he made this decision unilaterally, simply put out an edict over Thanksgiving weekend saying that we're going to end in-person classes after this academic year, no discussion. We had Kathy Sandeen, the last chancellor for the UW colleges and extension to serve in that capacity. She is now out in California. And again, confirming that there was a plan to address changing educational needs in higher education in the 2 years. It was a comprehensive plan. There was a media study with it, or a marketing study. Never saw the light of day. And so former President Ray Cross, back in 2017-18, simply threw the two-year campuses back with, you know, their home or a select four-year campus. It's my understanding from my reporting that chancellors basically didn't have a say in this, and there was no plan, Chad. There was no plan at the local level, at the four-year colleges. There was no plan given by former President Cross. It was just thrown in. So here, you're going to, literally the phrase in my reporting, I was told that Cross used was, quote, "You're either going to sink or swim," unquote. And it's my understanding that there were a couple of the four-year universities, Stevens Point may have been one of those, that actually saw it as a positive and who had a plan that was prepared. Most of them, including Platteville, did not. And in fact, I can confirm to you that former Chancellor Dennis Shields at Platteville resented the fact that he had to have these two-year campuses at Richland and Platteville at Baraboo, because he didn't see any value. It didn't add up to his mission, which is to make Platteville the premier engineering school in Wisconsin, only behind the flagship school of UW-Madison, which, by the way, I have to say, by and large, Platteville has really made that mark down there in southwest Wisconsin. But the point is that former Chancellor Shields, didn't want Richland and never put any time into making it prosper, and so it just died in the vine, a natural, sad, slow death.
And I guess a bridge between this topic and the next topic, which is political. Mm-hmm. After last week, we heard Scott Walker talk a lot about his frustration with how young people are not voting for conservatives and Republicans. But beyond that, I think in a big picture way about how we see a lot of talking down from the right about education, and especially higher education. And something you said on Monday when I was listening, and I actually wrote it down because I was really impressed with it, because you talked about how when you went to school down there, you said it challenged me and made me a better person, a more well-rounded person. And that's something I talk about as well. It feels like there is almost an anger and a goal of trying to cut education down at the knees, higher education by a lot of people on the right, and to make people less well-rounded and intelligent. I mean, is that true, or am I being unfair in that statement?
No, I think you're being absolutely fair, and probably aren't going far enough. You're probably being too kind. That's our Wisconsin Midwest nice, right?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, you can speak to your experience at Marathon up there in Wausau. I can speak to mine at Richland. I don't know anybody who went to the Richland campus, the two-year campus, and came away thinking, oh, I'm a raging left-wing lunatic now because I got indoctrinated, quote-unquote, Scott Walker's words, not mine. I somehow got indoctrinated by lefties by going to UW-Richland or UW-Marathon or UW-Barron. I mean, you came away with a greater understanding, a better challenge of your own beliefs, and a better whole person. That was my experience. What the other great thing these two-year colleges have done across Wisconsin is given opportunities for single parents returning continuing education, adult learning, to go back and get a two-year associate's degree, giving people that come from poor economic families in rural Wisconsin or smaller towns across Wisconsin a chance to pursue higher education. And to your point, Chad, this is an ongoing attack by Republicans across the state, and this is what makes it pertinent to people in Wausau. They should be asking the state senator and representatives in the Wausau area, what are you doing? What conversations have you had with Jay Laughlin? Because I'll tell you tonight, this is in the story the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, the day before, and originally on Wisconsin Public Radio, Kelly Meyerhofer from the Journal Sentinel, in Washington County. They're having a vote today down by Milwaukee in Washington County on merging UW-Milwaukee-Washington County with the Moraine Park Technical College. And basically what's happened, Chad, is they've seen the writing on the wall of what happened to Richland, where UW's system surprise attacked, basically, the Richland people at the Richland campus, and they're dictating how that campus is going to be closed down and how taxpayers in Richland County are going to be on the hook for a lot of bills and a lot of money. Washington County is being proactive. They're getting creative with their language. They have a merger. And what they basically want to do is get rid of the, say, we're going to tell you that we're going to beat you to the punch. We'll close down UW-Washington County, and we're going to make a deal with a technical school, and we're going to come out smelling like a rose financially. And I will tell you, Chad, that this discussion, that both county boards across the state, every county board that has a two-year college, has been talking to Richland Center, the Richland County Board, and the deans or the local people of the campuses of these 2 years have been talking, and they're looking at notes and comparing notes. And even though UW System and President Jay Laughlin is not being transparent, isn't talking, the local people are. And it's becoming very clear that what happened in Richland could be replicated at all 12 campuses 2 years across the state. We may see, I don't want to be overly dramatic, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities that this could be visited on every two-year campus across the state of Wisconsin.
Again, we're talking to Todd Alba of the Todd Alba Show, 8 to 11 a.m. each weekday right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. I took a deep breath there because that is, again, I mean, and you're right. I mean, once these, it could be, you know, you talk about the old domino theory back in the 50s and 60s. That could be a domino theory right there. And that's a scary, scary thought. And for folks here in central Wisconsin as well. Let's turn to some political talk in our last few minutes. 8 days ago, it was the election. What do we know now that we did not know before the election 8 days ago?
What do we know? I think we know now. Not that we didn't know, but maybe a lot of us, including myself, had a little bit of a doubt. I think what we know now for sure is that people in Wisconsin, the majority of voters in Wisconsin, doesn't matter whether you're from Milwaukee, Madison, Wausau, Barrow, whatever part of the state you're in, it turns out that the majority of Wisconsin voters like women's rights and don't believe that we should force our loved ones, female loved ones, to be forced to have a child that is a product of a rape. It turns out that we want to stand up for women's rights. It also turns out that a majority of Wisconsinites don't like gerrymandering. And they want to be the ones that choose their politicians and not the politicians choosing them. And so I think the two issues of women's health care, women's access to health care, and on gerrymandering, it sends a very clear signal to the powers that be in this state that it doesn't matter where we come from, we're going to stand up for those two things. I think that's a large reason of why Janet Protasiewicz got elected. And the final thing I'll say we didn't know before is, and you and I, you're a little younger than me, but for much of our lives, we said, oh, the kids are going to come out and vote. Well, guess what? The kids came out and voted, in college campuses across the state, whether it's Stevens Point or Wausau or Eau Claire or Platteville and Madison or over in the Fox Valley. Students came out and voted, and Gen Z is tired of being talked down to, and they're not going to put up with it, and they're going to show up at the polls.
Today's big news, Tammy Baldwin announces that she is running for a third term. I wanted to ask you, because you've been involved in politics in your former life. I think sometimes she is somebody whose historical place in Wisconsin is underestimated, because when you look at what she's been able to accomplish in statewide races the last two go-rounds, amazing. She, number one, 12 years ago, beat the most popular politician in Wisconsin in the last 125 years. You probably have to go back to fighting Bob La Follette to have anybody in the conversation with Tommy Thompson. And then she won by 11 points against Leah Vukmer 6 years ago. I mean, something I was talking about a couple of days ago is politicians can sometimes be called show horses and then work horses. I think with our two United States senators, we got one I would call a show horse who likes to get in front of cameras and talk a lot about things that don't affect people's lives here in Wisconsin. And then you got a workhorse who really works hard to talk to people that may not agree with her politically, who in a normal, generic ballot, R versus D, would never consider voting for a D, but yet considers Tammy Baldwin someone they can support. Could you talk about Tammy Baldwin in maybe the historical picture and also what this means for Wisconsin and for Democrats that she is, again, has her hat in the ring for 2024?
Well, I've known Senator Baldwin for several years. I'm embarrassed to say it now, but I actually helped run a race against her at one point in my political life as a former Republican. And I'll tell you a short version of this story that I think epitomizes who Tammy Baldwin is. In 2000, she had won her first, in 98, she had won, and my former boss, Scott Klug, down here in the Madison District, he left Congress, and so she ran for that seat, and she beat the Republican Joe Musser at the time. And I was supporting somebody else in the primary, but anyway, it was at the state U.S. Representative Tammy Baldwin, and she was running for her first full term, and I was helping run a race for a guy named John Sharpless here in Madison, a moderate Republican. It was the highest voting turnout ever in Madison at the time in 2000. And Tammy won by less than 1%. It was a very close election. And by today's standards, it wasn't particularly nasty, but by then it was not necessarily an all-clean fight. Fast forward, probably 15 years after that. And I ran into her. I ran into now Senator. By this time, she is now Senator Baldwin. I ran into her at a function for a mutual friend, somebody who had worked with me as a Republican and then went to work for Senator Baldwin. And that person is retiring. And my friend and I, who run the campaign against her, ran into her at this party. She arrived without an entourage, drove herself, came in, was nice. And we suddenly came face-to-face with her. And she said, oh, hi, I'm Tammy. And I said, Senator, you probably don't remember me, but I'm Todd Albaugh. This is Sam. We ran Sharpless's race back in 2000. And she looked at us and she said, you know what, guys? I have to thank you, because that made me a better representative at the time, a better politician, and I had to come to Jesus meet with my staff and said, we're going to change things. And, it made me a better person, and I want to thank you guys. I mean, how extraordinarily gracious and benevolent, and how smart is she? And I've supported her ever since. I've voted for her ever since. And she's the kind of person that brings in $7 million to Wisconsin's dairy and ag community last year. She's the kind of person that is always standing up for our educational system. She gets with it. She goes to Wisconsin Dell and meets with business people there to bring in federal dollars for transportation to have better roads to get people from Chicago and Minnesota here. She understands Wisconsin, and that's why she beat Tommy Thompson in her first race for U.S. Senate. Tommy Thompson, the four-time governor, Chad, you know that, one of the most popular politicians ever, and she beat him with the line, "He's not the Tommy you remember." And, of course, he played into it because he didn't run as the Tommy that he had run for 4 years. So she's a great person, a great senator for this state. I think she's going to be awfully hard to beat 2024.
And I have to say, I would love to have somebody write a book on that campaign in 2012. I would read that because, again, when you think about it, going into it, the thought that Tommy Thompson could get beat. I know that the times have changed. It was the post-Tea Party era. But at the same time, that guy was winning by 30 points, governor's races statewide. And Tammy Baldwin beat him by 6 points. Again, I just think it's an incredible. I mean, I think she has been as impressive an electoral winner in the state in the last couple of decades that we've ever seen. Real quickly, something about the Republicans in 2024 on the Senate side. This reminds me a little bit of the first Johnson-Feingold race, where there was a thought, well, it took a while for the Republicans to kind of sort themselves out, and then they ultimately won. But then there was a sense, I think, on the Democratic side that year, well, Russ has already won a couple of elections. He's going to win again, or three elections, in fact. I think Democrats better keep their eye on the ball, though, no matter how late it gets and no matter who runs. And I heard you say a name, though, I was just, holy cow, what the heck? Tom Tiffany is thinking about running for Senate?
I saw that. I spent time in Richland Center this weekend with my family. But, yeah, the internet chatter was that Tom Tiffany, a congressman from the 7th, who I had the unfortunate displeasure of spending time with when he was a state senator working on the mining issue at Mellon, he's considering running for United States Senate against Tammy Baldwin, which I think would be a great candidate for Republicans to run. I mean, if there's anybody that Tammy Baldwin could clean the floor with, it'd be Tom Tiffany. You may see him throw his hat into the ring, but, you know, in all due respect to former Senator Feingold, I think he did a fine job. Tammy Baldwin's a smarter politician than Russ Feingold, because Russ Feingold got a little bit caught up in the McCain-Feingold stuff and the light of D.C. Tammy Baldwin, let me tell you, is not that kind of politician. She's grounded in Wisconsin. She knows where her votes are, and her constituent services and the way she listens to Wisconsin voters is, in my opinion, superior to where Russ Feingold was when Ron Johnson pulled the upset.
And finally, I got to ask you before we conclude, I am girding myself during this budget process about the tax cuts for the wealthy, that it's going to happen in some form because, doggone it, they got too many votes. But I wanted you've been behind the closed doors. What is this process about, and what maybe do folks that are not, like myself and many of our listeners who are not privy to what happens during these negotiations, during the run-up and the writing of the budget, what do we need to know? What do we need to keep an eye on during this process? Because I think it's such a vital time right now, because budgets, as we talk about, are the priorities.
I think it's a great question, Chad. And, you know, something that our listeners in Wausau and around the state should keep in mind. Again, I would encourage people to challenge and ask your local state representative, your local state senator, what are you doing? How are you working with the Joint Finance Committee? Right now they're holding hearings across the state. We saw Howard Markline, the chair of the Joint Finance Committee, who represents Southwest Wisconsin and Richland Center on this campus issue. He came to town with his fellow JFC member, Tony Kurtz. They had a listening session, but they refused to answer questions from their own constituents, let alone taxpayers around the state. And I think what we have to keep asking our elected officials, Republicans in particular, is you keep saying you want to back the badge. You keep saying that you want to be with our EMS and firefighters. But what are you doing with shared revenue, the shared revenue formula? And don't let them tell you, well, it needs to be fixed. You're damn right it needs to be fixed. And where were you when you controlled everything? When Scott Walker was governor, you controlled the Senate, you controlled the Assembly. And where were you? You didn't fix the shared revenue formulas. And this is one of the big things they're trying to get away with now with the state budget, is saying, well, we got $7 billion, but we can't do this. BS. You can do it. You need to look at shared revenue. You need to make sure that places like Barrow and Wausau and Stevens Point are getting their fair share to fix the roads, to actually back the badge and to keep our services going. So take a look at where shared revenue is in these discussions, as well as higher education for places like Stevens Point and UW-Stevens Point Wausau.
Absolutely. Well, Todd, again, always as I sit at my desk doing my prep for this show, doing my prep for whatever game I'll be doing, I have you on, and I always learn something as well. So that's always something that I really appreciate, really enjoy the program, and great to be on the same Civic Media team with you, and hopefully get you back here on this program sometime soon.
Anytime, Chad. Always welcome on our show as well. It is Team Civic Media, bringing the truth to people across Wisconsin. There's powers and numbers, and we are with the people, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Todd.
You're welcome. Take care. Have a great day.
That is Todd Alba. Again, he is the host of the Todd Alba Show each and every weekday from 8 until 11 a.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio. And again, I love the fact that he worked behind those closed doors. He was, you know, part of a staffer. Dale Schultz knows him so very well down in that area, part of the state, but probably knows where a few of the bodies are buried as well. But always great to talk to Todd. And make sure, if you haven't already, tune in every weekday morning, 8 to 11, right here on Bow Falls Radio. We're going to take a quick break and then come right back. I'm Chad Holmes here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Home show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 to 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Short segment here before we get to the top of the hour. Went a little bit long, but I wanted to continue with Todd Alba because I just find it, you know, his experience is so very interesting. Really does have his hand on the pulse of what's going on throughout Wisconsin, and does know, you know, those little tricks politically as well. So thanks again to Todd. Coming up at 3:06, we'll be joined by Ray Miller. Have a look at our forecast. Again, we are somewhere close to 30 degrees above normal temperature-wise. Just amazing. Again, just really a fantastic week weather-wise. It'll continue. We'll find out how warm it will stay over the next few days with Ray Miller coming up at 3:06. Also, don't forget there is a flood warning that continues for the Big Rib River at Rib Falls affecting Marathon County. So again, if you're in that area or anywhere here in this area, because with all the snow melt and the exceptionally warm temperatures, we're seeing some flooding in different areas. Do not attempt to drive through flooded areas. Do not attempt to drive around barricades. Turn around. Don't drown when encountering flooded roads. Most flood deaths do occur in vehicles. So again, be careful. We talk about being careful during the winter with the slick roads, and now we're talking about being careful as well with the flooding in portions of Marathon County. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to talk more about Tammy Baldwin, because I really think in some ways she's underappreciated for the historical nature of what she's been able to accomplish electorally since she was elected to the House of Representatives, and then, of course, to the U.S. Senate. So we're going to talk about that. And also, again, talk about interesting at the Wausau City Council yesterday. Some security improvements at City Hall. Going to talk about it, why it's occurring, what it means, and we'll talk about that coming up as well in hour number two of the program. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs.